Reaching Up with Don Fess. Don Fess.
This is Darlene Check with Don on Reaching Up.
What to say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. That you have saved me, Lord, give all that I am to you, that every day I could be a light that shines your name.
Hallelujah.
Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take, and every day I can be a light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my
welcome to HP Pavilion in San Jose, California. I'm a long ways away from Sydney, Australia. I've heard your music for years and loved it, and it's a delight to finally meet you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let me ask you, I've read in your bio that you really kind of got started in music when you were about 10 years old.
Yeah, actually, I've been singing for as long as I can remember. You know, my parents were quite musical, and so, you know, you kind of grow up singing. But I've been working, being paid full-time to sing since I was 10. working in television and stuff in Australia. So, yeah, getting saved changed it all, though, because, you know, when you're brought up as a performer, you know, and then, you know, Jesus comes in and you don't need to perform for him. You just need to be, love him. And so that definitely was a big shift. And it took quite a few years to unlearn things that I had learned.
But when did that happen, and how did it happen?
When I was 15, going to my father actually got saved at a really kind of tumultuous time in our family, and I was already living out of home at 15, and so he came and picked me up, took me to church, took me to a youth meeting, and I got saved, radically saved. And here I am, all these years later, and I still get blown away by the whole love of God deal. It's pretty full on.
Last month I was at Saddleback, which is a mega church like Hillsong is in Australia, and talking to Pastor Rick Warren's wife, Kay, who's really incredible. She's just written a book called Dangerous Surrender. Mm-hmm. Would you describe it that way?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love Kay, and I love her words that she puts around our hearts. She's incredible. And I would say it's exactly that. It's a dangerous surrender, because the more you let go, the deeper you go, and there's a certain vulnerability and a certain trust, I think, that is involved, and that is a journey. And it's fantastic, but you do have to let go to go there, you know, and take yourself out of the driver's seat. Yeah.
Now, you said that you got saved when you were 15, but then it took several years for it, am I using the term correctly, to sink in, or for you to trust enough, or?
Not to sink in. It took time for me to find my place, Christian family, you know, what family actually looked like and felt like, and what church family was all about. And probably the biggest thing for me was being accepted for who I was. And I was riddled with insecurities. I think a lot of people who are taught to perform as such, you know, singing, dancing, which is fantastic, great skills to have. And I mean, my own children do the same thing. But when you get your identity intertwined with performance, that is when it gets very dangerous. And so for me, that was the unveiling of, you know, who I am in Christ is enough, you know, without me doing anything. And I mean, that is a wonderful thing to wrap your head and heart around.
How do you, as a performer, obviously, if you got saved when you were 15 and you were performing when you were 10, mm-hmm. there was a period when I assume you were doing secular music.
Mm-hmm.
And as a performer, and not letting the performer get in the way of you, the follower of Jesus, how do you get rid of the ego?
Well, I think that's something that always has to be kept under check. But I think, look, church family, being part of, you know, my own family, I had a tendency, I guess, to pull away, to get a little bit isolated. Well, I recognized that and started to confront that in myself, force myself to be with people and allow people in. And it's people that keep us all real, isn't it? Being in real relationships every day, doing life with people. And then understanding what the grace of God and what the cross has actually paid for us. For me, that keeps things very, very simple. It's like I'm saved by grace through faith, not of myself. It's a gift from God, not of man. It's from God, not of man, lest anyone should boast. And that's really, you know, those kind of foundational scriptures end up being the cornerstone for your faith. When you go out and lead, I understand I can help facilitate people to unlock their hearts and to look up. But, you know, my job is to get myself out of the way as quick as possible and just love God and love people and just help take them by the hand and point them to Him. not to point them to me.
With Don Fess. Don Fess. Together we can all
make a difference with the people. Poverty and hunger here and around the world. So much of the suffering and the dying doesn't have to be. Find out about organizations you can support and join with. Click on Do Good at CelebrateRadio.com or One Heart for Kids. www.dawnfest.com.
This is Darlene Check with Dawn on Reaching Up.
I've asked a lot of people this, including, I'm sure you know, Martin Smith of Delirious. When you're leading worship, mm-hmm. musically, and worship is supposed to be worshiping God, of course, is it okay also to, quote, entertain people, or do you try to take the entertainer part out?
Everyone has a bit of a different approach. Some people are very, very comfortable with that. I think for me, because that's what I got saved out of, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to. I don't want to travel the world and entertain people. It actually, has no hold. It is. There is nothing in me that's what I want to do. I really want to point people to Christ. You know, obviously, I don't do that perfectly all the time, and the flesh will get in the way. And but you know, God knows. God knows my heart in it all, and I'm sure we all slip into that entertainer mode because we're people, and but it's about getting back out of it. When it comes to worship, I think it's very different than other kinds of music, because you know, leading worship, it's a very holy calling. It's not like you're forming a band and even just singing Christian songs. That's a fantastic thing, but when you're involved in people's prayers, people's journey of faith, and helping to put lyrics and music and an experience around the human condition, I see that as a very holy moment. Even to put the word entertainment in with that philosophy, for me, is a real rub. But that's my take on it, you know. But that's one of the things why I love leading worship, is because when you stand back and you watch, you know, the Holy Spirit actually working in people's lives, and they're not even aware you're there anymore. And people really get captivated in a holy moment. And that's just, I'm going, yes, that was fantastic. Let's do that again.
Now, what about those, if you will, faceless people who buy your CDs and have for many years? I would assume that's different from all those people at churches throughout the United States and around the world who sing your songs mm-hmm. that you've written. But people who buy the CDs, what do you want them to get out of it?
I would hope it would be the same thing. You know, I know as a church, our mission is not to create celebrity, but to foster disciples. And, you know, we're very specific in what we write on any album. There's always salvation prayers. There's always a scripture reference to the songs. You know, we do to the best of our ability to take the emphasis off gifts and our talents, because they were given us by God anyway, you know. So we're not saying it's any better or what, but this is what, as a church, we've held really dear to right from the beginning, you know, that in the very best possible way we'll point people to Christ, and he's the one that does the life changing. And you can get it through a CD, you can get it through, you know, you don't need us to be there. You know, you can be by yourself and be in an incredible time worshiping God and, under, you know, being aware of his presence in any moment. And I guess we're trying to really encourage people to understand the gift we have in or through worship. Very real and very tangible and life-changing. And that's the only reason we do it.
I know before long you're going to be up on the HP Pavilion stage, you and Joyce Meyer, of course. I want to zip through a few more questions
okay.
real quick. Tell us a little bit about Hillsong Church in Australia.
Hillsong Church is fantastic. It's 25 years old now. And, yeah, it's a church. It's a local church. It's not a music company. It's not any of those things. Local church. The whole time it's always been about loving God and loving people. And, you know, through our ups and downs and mountains and valleys that you do as a church, you know, we're still the same church. It's just now we're a lot larger than we used to be. And it's fantastic, actually, in our nation. You know, any church in our nation that has been proclaiming the name of Jesus has really been growing at a phenomenal rate. We've never really had a major revival in our land. You know, yet our nation is called the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. That's what Australia means. And so we're all pretty excited. The church is really big churches everywhere in Australia now. And so we're very honoured to be part of it. And yeah, Hillsong Church is just magnificent. It's my home church. It's wonderful.
I know that you also have a heart for social justice in the world. Tell us a little bit about that, and I think work in Rwanda as well.
You know, I think this is what happens, hey, when you fall in love with Jesus, you start to fall in love with the things that he loves. On this journey of worship, you know, especially the last 5 or so years, our hearts have just been broken for, you know, the 2/3 of the world that certainly don't live like this, hey, in this amazing nation. You know, we've been thinking and really trying to ask God for wisdom on this. How should we spend the rest of our days? You know, we want to see people connected with Christ, and at the same time we want to really be the hands and feet on the ground as well. And you start reading about God's heart for the poor and the broken in our own nations as well as abroad, then, you know, we've just been watching different relationships coming together for really godly alliance that we believe will be more powerful together to go and relieve human suffering, wherever that may be. And, yeah, we've been working in Rwanda for many years, and we're really believing that God will just continue to see, you know, that kind of work be outworked in other nations, you know, and just helping anybody facilitate the gifts on their lives to go and serve and lift the lives of the poor. So I believe this is much a part of worship as the songs. The songs are the fuel, but the fuel is for people. The fuel is to meet the need. It's not to, you know, just be self-served. And I'm so grateful to be alive in this season in history, because it seems that the language of the church worldwide is changing, and this kind of language is seeping through just denomination after denomination, very wealthy people to very people who live very simple lives, just this whole thing of worship and justice being hand in hand, that you cannot separate them. And you know, you get down to Micah 6:8 when the question is asked of God, you know, with what is going to please you, God? What is it that you want? Do you want more offerings? Do you want this? Do you want that? And he just says, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. I'm like, oh my gosh, have we missed it? It's like, no, we haven't missed it. But we're positioned, we're getting positioned across the earth just to be all in the right place, the right time, go and relieve human suffering in an unprecedented way. I think as the church, we've been at the back of the line of this for such a long time. Some parts of the church have actually done it really well, but the majority of us have sat at the back of the line, and it's about time. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. We're blessed to be a blessing, and our lands that are very rich in knowledge and food and wealth and et cetera, we must take it out and go and lift the lives of people who are dying today from preventable disease, you know, from things that we take for granted, and it's like enough is enough. So I'm pretty focused about it and passionate about it, and really looking forward to see what the next 10 years uncovers.
On our website and on our air, we're going to direct people to your website, and they can read more about your work. I know that you kind of have to go. Thanks so much for being with us. What a pleasure to meet you after enjoying your music and worshiping to your music for so many years. And thank you so much for your comments on and your passion for doing justice in the world.
Thank you. And I just pray great blessing over everyone who's listening, and, you know, whatever's going on in your world. We just pray over it and ask God, you know, just to be the God of your life, the Lord of your life. And I just speak great favor over every one of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
My Jesus.